welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Sark.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
It's, you know, everything is great.
Yep.
I've been sick, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Which I think I told you earlier,
yeah.
But then you were dealing with allergies.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's that time
it
of year.
Rough.
Yeah. I mean, spring through fall mm-hmm. is allergy season for me. Winter
rough.
Comes and there's no plants, you know, doing anything. And so I'm kind of good. But yeah,
I felt like I had everything. I felt like I had like the worst flu and the worst COVID.
Oh, wow.
And they were both hanging out in my chest.
Well, that sounds horrible. I'm
and
so
then,
sorry.
And like, I get the allergy thing because mm-hmm. every time the trees bloom, they're trying to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
They're actively
mm-hmm.
trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I'm congested. And I'm miserable.
Yeah.
And I can't sleep.
Mm-mm.
I got almost no sleep. And let me tell you. So I have a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, housemate.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, during this time, she was going to church camp every day.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't coming back till late. And her door needs some serious WD-40. So I'm, like, finally asleep. And I'm not the type of person to sleep through everything.
Right.
Like, it doesn't take much. It wake me up and keep me awake.
Yeah.
Oh, and just every night. And I would have just gotten asleep. So there was one evening, I don't remember why. I guess my mom thought I'd be awake, but mm-hmm. I was trying to go to bed earlier so I'd actually get some sleep.
Yeah.
And she called me.
Uh-huh.
And I just start crying because I am so tired. It is sad.
Oh,
like,
sad.
Then I got off the phone with her. I'm like, wow, I am weak. I would not survive.
Mm.
I would not survive the past.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah,
if I was used to it. But now it's like every time I go in a place that doesn't have air conditioning, I'm like, whoo, not supposed to be here.
That is, yeah. And it, honestly, we're at our house, we are feeling that pain really badly.
Oh, man.
I mean, we don't have the best air conditioning system ever. And so it gets
warm. Oh, let's pray over Jordan's house.
Yeah, it gets warm towards the middle of the day. So we have all of our strategy thought out. We crank it all the way down in the morning and shut all the curtains and make sure we're insulated during the day. I'm yelling out, shut the door, like constantly, because
yeah.
kids love to just open the door and stand there. So we all have our strategies, but it is really hot summer
yeah.
right now. It's kind of an issue.
We're in the 90s or hundreds
yeah.
most days,
mm-hmm.
and so I mean it. Obviously, there's some places that have it a little bit worse.
Yeah,
but
it's also
pretty warm.
Humid here.
I'm used to it being like in the house I live in. It
mm-hmm.
is cold.
Sounds nice.
We do not play around.
Yeah,
and then the rest of my family, my sister and her family, it's not like that at her house. It's
mm-hmm.
more like yours.
Yeah.
And. Then I don't even realize how cold it is, and I look, and one of my nephews has got his arms and legs tucked into his shirt, and he's just shaking. And I'm like, oh, I am so sorry. So, like, I'm over there wrapping him in blankets. I'm
yeah.
like, my bad.
Yeah.
I don't even realize. And then he's just, because he's not used to it being so cold. I'm like, I'm feeling so bad for them. I'm going to get them sick.
Yeah, well, we got to do what we can to survive and be comfortable.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not exactly what we're going to be talking about today.
No, let's move on.
But,
let's move on from that.
those were some testimonies of, you know, some struggles here in our area. But we're going to be talking about a different kind of testimony
yeah.
today. Something we were talking about earlier was just the power of a testimony.
Uh-huh.
And kind of specifically when it comes to evangelism. Now, when we think evangelism, that, you know, conjures up a lot of things in our minds. We think of maybe some missionaries in the past, maybe, you know, Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas, and their evangelistic efforts in ancient Europe in the Mediterranean area. And then we think about maybe people like Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and
mm-hmm.
Hudson Taylor and these great missionaries of the past. Maybe we think about evangelists like Billy Graham and others like him who were a bit more recent and brought, you know, many, many people to the Lord. Maybe we think about just those opportunities that we have to pass out a gospel tract.
Yeah.
And
all good things.
All good. Look, and these are fantastic, fantastic things. Walking someone down the Romans road, that kind of thing. We have all of these tools at our disposal, but one that I think might go a little bit under the radar, something we
yeah.
don't really think about often.
And probably something that has
mm-hmm.
the most impact.
Yes, is your personal testimony
yeah.
as a Christian.
And that's because that you're seeing, like, you can tell me about Jesus all day long,
yeah.
but I want to see it lived out.
Yes.
Like, what has following Jesus, like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah.
And sharing testimony doesn't always mean your entire life story.
No, yeah.
It could be just this, like you make contact. Mm-hmm. Like, we have, I'm sure a lot of people who are listening know J.J. Jasper.
Yes.
Just this morning, he was talking about the opportunities he's had. Like, today is the anniversary of their son's death.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time, and as sad as it is, the opportunities they've had to connect with people just over one part of their lives,
yeah.
that, you know, and people who have also lost people, being able to make that connection. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean, like, always mean you sit there and you tell someone from birth until you gave your life to the Lord. Like, it could just be a little section of your testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good thing too, because who knows, like, I think most of the time when we evangelize, or when a Christian evangelizes, usually it's someone that you already know. It's somebody that you're friends with, or maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker. You're not always going up, although this is a great thing to do, you're not always going up to somebody on the street and saying, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Usually this is somebody you already kind of have a connection with. And those conversations happen, and the Holy Spirit prompts you, hey, this is an opportunity to talk about the love of God. You already have that connection. So this person knows that you can be trusted. This person knows, hey, I'm familiar with you to a certain extent, and this is your opportunity to open up maybe another chapter of your life that they aren't familiar with. And using that connection that you've already established with them can be really, really great. But even if this is a stranger and you're just kind of making small talk and you realize, hey, they're kind of going through a similar struggle that I went through. And then that can be an opportunity to sort of bridge that gap. Because, you know, there's a lot of different approaches. A lot of people don't like to open up. And some people like to take more of a, I don't know how to explain this, but maybe more of an apologetic route. Maybe you're big into apologetics and you want to talk to somebody about the truthfulness of the Bible, the authority of Scripture.
And that is fantastic.
And that's fantastic. I will say that's not for every discussion, because not everybody is in a place where that is their struggle.
Yeah.
A lot of times also I think our Christianese, our church language can get in the way.
Yeah.
If you're talking to somebody, one, who has never been to church, or two, who has been to church and has heard that language and it turns them off immediately, that can really be more of a hindrance than a help. So if you're throwing around terms like salvation and redemption and repentance and justification.
We know what those mean.
We know what those mean.
And they may know what that word means, like, dictionary-wise. They may know.
Yeah.
But, like, in reference to Scripture, in reference to God, it might be a foreign concept to them. Yeah.
And that's why I think sharing a testimony, sharing your personal story about maybe this is indeed how you came to the Lord. You went through the process of, you know, being made aware of your sin and repenting of it and turning to God for salvation. Or maybe this is just even after the fact. This is maybe not even about your conversion. Maybe this is about how the Lord has dealt with you afterwards. This is how you've been following him and finding him to be true to who he says he is. So your testimony that you share can be any number of things that the Holy Spirit prompts you, but it is that human connection. It's that relatability that I think can be quite powerful.
Well, I mean, and I can sit there and tell someone about Jesus all day long, and there's so many people that are not going to receive it. They're not. I mean, like, they're immediately shut off from that.
Yeah.
Because they have seen too many people who preach it but don't live it out.
Yeah.
Who don't live it out. And I mean, I'm not a perfect person, and I know that I've made plenty of mistakes, and I've probably, along the road, I've probably turned some people away from Jesus because I was in church and I was preaching it, but I was not living 100% the way I needed to. But if you are able to sit there and tell someone about Jesus in a way that's how he changed your life, that's evidence. And they may still not be ready to receive it completely.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll say something in your story will click with them.
And also, I think to your point that we aren't perfect, you know, that yes, we can be seen in negative light sometimes. our testimony kind of comes alongside that, says, mm-hmm. look, yes, I've been saved, but you see my life. I'm not this all of a sudden miraculously perfect individual.
Oh, yeah,
individual.
Work in progress, for sure.
I'm not speaking down to you at all. Like, I'm sharing the story of how I was an undeserving sinner,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus, and out of his mercy, out of his undeserved grace, saved me.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve that, and I still don't deserve that. This is a gift that was given to me. It's freely offered. I didn't have to do anything in return, and it's unconditional. It doesn't depend on my life afterwards. I can't lose this. This has been given to me by God and sealed by his blood.
Yeah.
And that's a theological thing you can get into later, maybe. But the point being that I'm not talking down to you. I'm not standing somehow above you and condescending to your level.
Yeah.
Through this testimony, this is me telling you that I am your peer in this, that I am just like you, except I've received that gift, and that gift is freely offered to you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that living in the region that we live, there's mm-hmm. a church on every corner.
Yes.
There's still a lot of us that grew up in church. And so some of the people I like to make connections with are people who maybe did also grow up in church
uh-huh.
and have strayed, because that's my story. I mean, like, I grew up in church. I was sitting on the pew. I participated in the youth and the youth choir and everything. Mm-hmm. I have my scripture memory plaques and everything else. I did all of that, but I still had not given my life to Christ. I was
yeah.
just going through the motions, mm-hmm. putting on the show. I had been baptized.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the church, but I was still lost.
Yeah.
I had not really given my life mm-hmm. to Christ. And so, like, I've talked to a lot of people who are, when I get the chance, that's their struggle. They're like, I've been in church and I just don't know if I'm saved or not.
Yeah.
Which I can't tell you if you are yeah. or not, but I like to discuss that with him, like, because I know that's my story. I know what it's like to go through the motions. I know what it's like to sit on the pew. I know what it's like to
yeah.
look like the good Christian kid. Because I'm telling you, when I was a teenager, all these people in church, the adults were singing my praises. She's a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not.
I
was that person there.
Mm.
I even helped lead devotion at school. And
yeah.
was just as lost as can be, parroting things that I'd
yeah.
heard. And again, speaking a lot of Christianese
mm-hmm.
made me look real smart,
mm-hmm.
but I was not. And so, like, when I run across somebody that's like, yeah, I was a church kid, but I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I'm a Christian, or I'm not in church now.
Yeah.
That's a connection I like to make right there.
And that's a great connection to make, too. So I think me and you had similar experiences. I, too,
yeah.
was raised in church from the very beginning. I walked down the aisle maybe when I was six
mm-hmm.
and was baptized. My dad actually baptized me. It's a little country church in Mississippi that
yeah.
I was baptized in. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, anybody looking at me would have said, yeah, you know, he's absolutely saved. You know, he is saying the right things. And I was a mostly well-behaved child. You know, I was very,
yeah.
I was a people pleaser and still am sometimes. I was not openly living in a lot of sin. Internally, absolutely. Outwardly, I was very well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
And very proud of that, by the way, back then.
Okay,
but
I'm glad
specified
that.
Yeah, not proud of that anymore, but back then I was very yeah. proud of that. And so I think we had similar ideas. And then later on, what was interesting was Mom and Dad had a book on the bookshelf that I read. And I can't remember the title of it. But it was essentially a short little novel about a boy who kind of was struggling with the idea of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And in this story, he goes to this like youth group or this small group study, and the kids are sharing their testimonies. And they talked about how they had been baptized, but they weren't saved.
Yeah.
And immediately that was like, I could not get further away from that book. I could not stand that book anymore. I couldn't stand to see it on the shelf.
Yeah.
I was so convicted that, and so terrified that, oh my gosh, like, it's possible to have said this prayer and to have been baptized, and for everyone around you to tell
you. Yeah, you can't magically be saved by just saying, reciting some words.
Exactly. And so my whole idea of who I was before God completely crumbled away. And that was terrifying for me. And so it took a while. Like, I kind of went through a period of really just turmoil and just darkness and kind of anger at the idea of God until later on God, you know, when I was about 16, 17, God broke through that and I was saved, I think, for the, you know, for real. I may have been saved a little bit before then, but 16 was when I kind of had the experience. So that ability to talk to that specific audience, and in our area, that's kind of the audience we can expect in our circles, is people who have gone to church, maybe still are in church, and, you know, maybe even believe, hey, me and God are cool. You know, we have our thing worked out. I said the thing, I got dunked or I got sprinkled wherever, you know, whatever denomination you're in, and we're good. You know, everything's great. And look, it is not up to us to make that judgment call. Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not. But I do think sharing your testimony, even with people who may already be saved, can be at least very edifying, if not, you know, convicting to someone who is in a situation where their soul isn't where they think it is, you know, like it was for me. And so knowing who you're talking to and being able to have a shared experience and share that with them can be very powerful in breaking through preconceived ideas of who God is, or maybe ideas of what salvation is, and bringing them to bear with, like, this is, you know, the person I'm talking to right now has had this experience and had this experience with God, and they've been changed, and maybe that can happen for me as well.
Yeah. I think for me, because I didn't become a true Christian until I had been here for a while. And that's because I was fighting this notion, you know, I was fighting against, not just fighting against God, but the idea that I'm not really saved.
Yeah.
Like, I was baptized. Yeah. I was baptized. I'm saved, you know? And I, look, you hear how smart I sound? Like, yeah. I don't really think that. I mean, like, but you see, like, I know what to say and know what to do. Like, I mean, I'm saved.
Yeah.
And, but when I was younger, I would go to church, but then I would be at school where I could be a different person. And I was going different places where I, you know, there I could be a different person.
Yeah.
And then I started working here. And there's all of these, again, different testimonies and stories that I'm getting from people. And it's hard. I mean, like, I'm coming to work every day, 5 days out of the week. I'm at the office surrounded by you people.
Yeah.
And, you know, till eventually I just couldn't run anymore. And it was because of all the people here sharing their stories. We are very blessed to get the opportunity. I know some people who are a little more nervous in front of people may not see it this way, but we have, we meet every morning for devotion. The employees all take turns. And people's devotions take different turns, but often you might hear pieces and bits of other people's stories.
Yeah.
And even if they don't just give their full testimony, but you, like, moments that they've had and what it meant to them, and then they put it with scripture. And so, like, I'm constantly being bombarded every single day by everybody's stories, everybody's testimonies, and it just, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the things that clicked for me.
Yeah.
And so now I'm here on the radio. And I'm getting to share a little bit of my story every time. So, I mean, and I know I'm not talking to just an individual. I mean, I kind of am. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to whoever's listening, whoever it may be. Thank you for being here. And I'm hoping that I'm making a connection with you. And I'm hoping, like, if you're going through something, maybe something I say, you know, maybe God will use me to reach you, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to use me to reach you, Jordan.
Maybe. It's happened in the past. Who knows?
Really?
Sure. But yeah, I think, too, that's another aspect of the power of a testimony, is that when you share a testimony, you are affirming that the God we worship is a living God.
Yeah.
That he is at work right now in today's world in the hearts of individuals, maybe in the most invisible person's life, doing a great work of salvation. Because I think if you look at, you know, pop culture and then just people that you talk to on the street who are not involved in church, what is their perspective of Christians? Usually it's hypocritical Christians who say a lot of good stuff but live a different way. And then churches are just kind of like these cheesy social clubs where they kind of talk about weird things.
Some are, I'm sad to say.
And honestly, sometimes that's justified. sometimes that is an accurate depiction.
Of individual instances.
That exists.
That's not the church as a whole.
That is not. That is absolutely true. But on one hand, even if it were, the gospel is not how great the church is. The gospel is not how great Christians are. The gospel is how great Jesus is. But regardless, if that is the perception of the church and the perception of individual Christians that people have, that is just this hollow, hypocritical, one way on the outside, but the inside is we're basically just like everybody else, but maybe just a little worse because we're hypocrites. That's their perspective. That's their perception. But then we come with our testimony, and we're like, well, here's how the Lord has dealt with me, a undeserving, sinful person who by all rights should be condemned. Here's how he's dealt with me in love and mercy. And how opposite of that picture that is, you know, it really just tears down this idea of the church and Christians. They're just part of this dead way of living, you know. There's no life there. There's no power there. God isn't if there is a God, he's certainly not doing anything in this group of people. It breaks all of that down because we say, actually, here's evidence to the opposite. Here's how my life has changed. And while I am not perfect and I make really bad mistakes, I am no longer a slave of sin. And I at least want to be different.
Yeah.
And there really is no reason for me to want to be different other than the intervention of God. And that's one thing I think a lot of people really need to see. And that's why I think Christians really need to be sharing their testimony, is because this idea of the church being a dead, hollow institution we can make war against that perception by just sharing the truth and sharing our testimony.
And I think this might be, there may be opportunities here, like for one, for the individual person who is listening, maybe if you haven't done this before, to get your thoughts on paper. Write out, even if it doesn't have to be eloquent, where you don't have to post it anywhere, but like somewhere, a Word doc on a piece of on a sheet of paper, you know, to keep in your Bible. Write out your some of your testimony there, and just over time work on it, and that'll help you. It will be easier to share if you get your thoughts
in a way
that is concise. It's easier for, and just in the moment when you find it, like it's time, like you're like, this person needs to hear my story. You know, if you get it out like that and have it written down, it'll help. I think it'll help you in the long run. Also, second thing, I would like to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and issue a challenge. To churches. And I think to pastors, which I know with my pastor and stuff, you know, like he shares bits and pieces of his story regularly, like as he goes along. But I mean, I think this might be a good opportunity to like, hey, I haven't just told my story in a while. And maybe you should share it because you probably got new people in your congregation that haven't heard the whole thing yet. And it might be a good time to do that. So maybe I would ask you to think and pray on that, and maybe find some other people in your church that you know that you maybe you've trusted in other ways, and see if they'd be willing to take a little time. I mean, maybe not a whole service, but give them the platform for just a little bit. Like, we're going to have so-and-so share their testimony. Because I don't think we do that in our churches enough.
No, we don't.
And sometimes those people sitting in the pew, they're the ones who need to hear it.
Absolutely.
And I think that will also bond you and your congregation, you and your church, the people sitting in the pews with you. I think that's going to bond y'all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's actually something I'm very blessed at my church, is that is a priority that the elders have put on us, is For instance, when I went to our pastor and said, you know, I've come to the Lord and I would like to be baptized, we had all these conversations, and he challenged me to write down. He had a big leather book, huge. He probably still has it up in his office, of testimonies from the church. And he said, just write your testimony down on these pages. And so I wrote my and I have the worst handwriting ever, so I was a little embarrassed.
I've seen it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I wrote my testimony down. And adding that to a book full of testimonies, and then also being able to, because this was another thing that I didn't like, but I did anyway, was before you get baptized, you have to share your testimony with the church.
Yeah.
I got up there and I shared it, and it was probably one of the most nerve-wracking things ever. But it was a blessing to be able to do that, and then to also hear other people's testimonies in the church. And so while it's not a nosy thing, I'm not trying to get into people's business, but to be able to hear, we all have the same Father.
Yeah.
And he's a good father, and we're all his children. And this is how, and you get to hear how your brothers and sisters within the congregation have met with him and have felt his love. That is a very unifying thing. And it's been a real blessing.
And I also write down if you are scared, like if you're one of the types who are nervous about speaking in front of people.
Yeah.
You could always start with just talking to a couple friends.
Yeah.
Maybe share it with your small group or Sunday school class, a smaller setting. You know, start there and build your way up. And before you know it, it'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
But never forget what that story means.
Absolutely.
And I know it. When you tell something enough, sometimes it can lose its meaning. Don't ever let this story lose its meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. That'll bring us to the end of this episode. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.